I'm still running in the vein, I guess you could say, or topic that we were talking about some this morning with worship, and that has been my heart and my theme this weekend, it seems. So, 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 13 is where we're going. If you're there, say amen. It was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. This is David. 14 says, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now drop down to verse 20. And then David returned to bless his household. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today? Notice the sarcasm here. How glorious was the king of Israel today who uncovered himself? That simply means he took off his royal garment, all right, and identified with the common man. Uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. But notice this, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Had no child unto the day of her death. So in that text I read to you, we see two things mentioned, especially dancing and dying. Dancing and dying. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the presence of God. Thank you for the Word, Lord, that whose entrance giveth life. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts and minds of those that are present, the families represented here. Oh, God, may we be encouraged tonight in our worship. May we be encouraged in our praise. May we be encouraged, Lord, to surrender everything to you. And Lord, just focus on you, the audience of one, because you're really the one that makes all the difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask these things. All God's people say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Dance, David, dance. Some people make it a point to be involved in the lives of others. Anybody know people like that? Anybody know people like that? I read about, for example, you heard the story of a woman who was so entwined in other people's lives that when she had a near-death experience, someone else's life flashed before her eyes. And someone said, God's children are some of the most criticized, and yet sometimes they can be the most critical in the world. And so Christians sometimes can't, it just seems like they can't win. Quite often, everything in life has a critic. How many's found that out? Everything in life has a critic. And you will more often be put down probably rather than be built up in this world. It's just the nature of the system. What makes all the difference, though, is how we handle the fault finders and their comments. And the, when the critics come, when those who don't agree with you continue to bombard you with negative statements, are you gonna keep your shout? Are you gonna keep your dance? And when I mention dance tonight, I'm talking about worship. Okay. Will you keep your dance, or will you start dying like Michael did? David had to deal with the criticism in almost, if you follow him through Scripture, church, David had to deal with criticism in almost every chapter of the Bible that he has mentioned. And yet he managed every reproach with a cool calmness. Isn't that great? No wonder God invited him and he became the king of Israel. I mean, take a look with me at the event that I read to you about. The time is which this event took place is one of the great joys of the nation of Israel. And the enemy had been conquered. The anointed king was now on the throne. And now the ark bearing the law, the provision, and the sign of miracles of God, it was coming home. And the ark had been stored at Obed-Edom's house for several months. Now it's coming home and back to the place, really, where it belonged. Everyone is celebrating. Well, I guess I should say at least almost everyone, right? And you can hear the whispers in town saying, ark's coming home. The ark's coming back. The whispers gain momentum as the ark gets closer and closer. And finally, as the ark enters the gates of Jerusalem, the crowd begins to get loud. And they begin to celebrate. Brother Smith mentioned that was no doubt a jubilee. Glory of God was about to fill the city again. The ark of God was coming home. Wouldn't that be great? And David is seen coming through the gates of Jerusalem, the capital city. And he's coming in a different manner than normal. He's dancing. He's leaping. He's shouting. And at first the people are shocked to see their king doing these things. But then the crowd begins to follow his example. And now David is dancing in the midst of a dancing crowd. And why? Because the ark's coming home. The power of God, the symbolism of God's presence. And David was ecstatic about the movement of the ark. And the crescendo gets louder and louder, and almost everyone is watching with happiness, except one lady who's watching out of the upper room window, and she's not happy at all. And she's obviously the daughter of Saul. She was of she has an attitude problem about royalty. She thinks emotional displays is reserved for the lower class citizen. And she feels that David, with him shouting and leaping, is beyond the means of royalty. And David should calm down and should cut out the display in front of all of his servants and his subjects. And David is just beside himself, according to her. The ark's coming home and he can't control himself. He can't stop. Furthermore, doesn't look like he wants to stop by his reply, right? And so he's excited and he displays this worship. And there's something, church, there's something about the things of God. Let me just say this right here. There's something about the things of God that should thrill our souls. We need to understand that God is great, and when he displays his love to us, it should cause us to worship him. How many know there's plenty of things that can zap and drain your spiritual energy? Yeah. I mean, not only do we have the normal struggles that are part of our lives, but we have various situations that happen when we least expect them. What are you going to do when those challenges come? And how are you going to react when some defeated saint issues the ultimatum to quit that display of devotion to your Lord? Hello? David danced because his weeping had been turned into joy. Praise God. He was pleased at the fact that the ark, the very representative presence of God, was coming closer to his home and was going to be back. So David danced to honor God. He told us he had no other motive. You can't walk away from that passage and question David's motives. His worship was from his heart because God was displaying his own goodness to the nation of Israel again. David danced because his heart was overjoyed with the things of God, and the presence of God had been absent from Jerusalem, I believe, according to the timeline, more than a decade. David knew that he was in the position of a king because God had chosen him, but he didn't let that stop him from his worship. David danced because life was good and God was coming home, and with God now being at home, things was going to get back to a kind of a new normal again. That means several different things was going to change in Jerusalem. That means the priest could once again function. Hello. They hadn't been functioning in the temple like they were supposed to be. Okay? The temple would now become the common place where everyone would want to come and worship again. Before, it was just another building. The significance was gone. You might as well have written Ichabod over the temple. The power was gone. But now David realizes the priests are going to get to function again. The temple was going to be the hub of the faithful folks again. And the presence of God would reign. So David just began to get a little bit excited about what he understood the presence of God meant to him. Oh, I just want to be here tonight just for a few more minutes to encourage someone. Life will always attempt to get you down. There are always those out there that may, and maybe even in here, I don't know, who look for the opportunity to steal your joy and rob you of your spiritual emotion and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were very good at that in the New Testament. How many realize that? Oh, the Pharisees. Some churches in this postmodern age are infested with that Pharisee spirit. So remember, here's what you got to remember though. Dancing, that's your worship, dancing is going to cost us. We must be willing to pay the price. And when I talk, remember, about dancing, it's not just the physical dance I'm referring to. Overall attempt to worship God merely out of a heart that is excited by the presence of God and His love. You know, if there is anything the enemy of life would like to take from us, it is the excitement that can be in the mind and heart of a child of God. If he can drain you and if he can catch you up in the mundane, the normal, ordinary, same old lifestyle, your joy is going to be gone. Your thrill is going to be zapped. Your excitement is no longer going to be available. This is the status that many want us to be. Huh? But when I recall, church, what the Savior has done for me, when I recall that He died for us as a church, as a nation, as a community, when I recall He bowed His head and He cried, "It is finished," when I realize everything that that means in my own life, listen, friends, I can't help but get a little excited. I get a little emotional and I get to understand that, God, You've done a whole lot for me. I just hope I can give You back just a little bit.
At least, listen, dancing will cost you criticism by others. There will always be those that aren't going to worship. And guess what? Those that are worshiping are going to make those that don't worship feel a little bit guilty.
Have you ever noticed that?
So they talk, and a lot of times they'll become the critic. And Michael, the princess here, represents the old guard who saw David's worship and saw it as vulgar and undignified. And her eyes were on others, but David's eyes was upon who? God. To her, she thought, oh, wait a minute here. Kings don't dance. Kings don't dance. They don't show the emotion and excitement because of joy. She must have thought, kings don't dance because my dad never danced.
Hello.
King Saul never danced. Royalty doesn't do things like David just did. You're right,
Michael. You're right.
Saul never danced. He threw spears at innocent people. You're right, Michael. He tried to kill God's anointed. You're right. He killed the priests and turned his back on God because of sin. You're right. He visits witches and tries to communicate with the dead. What kind of role model is Saul?
Hello.
The way we express our worship will create a lot of times a lot of misunderstandings. People will misunderstand, like Michael did, why we dance. Michael just did not get it. David did not dance for the maids. He wasn't putting on a show. He danced to celebrate the victory that was brought to him by the hand of the Lord. David danced in spite of the jealousy. Some people don't like it when we love God more than they love Him. Hello. Somebody just raise your hands and tell God how much you love Him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. See, David clearly indicated his love to God. It was greater than his love for his wife, even. And that caused a conflict. It caused marriage problems.
Hello.
Poor Michael. She was so stuck in her own world, she couldn't step out of her own cultural understanding of how a king was to act. Consequently, while David lived a life of blessing, she lives a life devoid of the one blessing that was most prized by her culture at that time. We're told in verse 23, she had no children to the day of her death. She despised David so much that it affected their relationship and she became barren until death. But I want you to notice, she had a choice. To stay in that protective palace and criticize, or she could have chose to join in the dance. She could have chose to no longer be the daughter of Saul, but become a daughter of Jehovah and join in the dance. Hello? She could have chose to no longer be the child of her past and now become the child of the Hebrew God. But she made her choice. She could have chose to no longer be barren on the inside and be filled with joy and life on the inside and the outside. But she chose death. She could have chosen not to criticize those who had found the victory. She could have discovered the victory for herself. Listen, friends, Annie Graham Law, Billy Graham's daughter, she said this, and that's kind of where this whole idea comes from. I read it this week. She said, a Christian will dance or die. We have no other choice. She said, dance before the King of Kings or sit back and be critical and die because you refuse to worship. You can either dance or die. We have to do one or the other. I don't know about you, but when they put it like that, I say, I know which way I'm going to choose. I'm going to dance. Hallelujah. I said, I'm going to dance. We can stop because of all the criticism and misunderstanding and all the feelings of others. We can allow things to hinder us from our heartfelt worship. And listen, we can die with those things, or we can dance before the Lord and say, listen, we can dance because because He found us where we were when we did not deserve it. Listen, we can dance because He gave us joy in the midst of our sorrow. We can dance because, listen, we're so far behind on our worship, we'll never get caught up. We can dance because there is a hope. There is a... Listen, friends, I don't know about you, but sometimes for a believer in this culture, it gets pretty bleak.
Hello?
It gets pretty bleak. And then you add on to the just the normal bleakness of our culture, you add your specific problems. You add your own family issues, physical issues, church issues.
Hello?
Listen, friends, it can get pretty bad. It can get pretty bad. I understand that. But listen, it's our choice. We either are going to choose to dance or we're going to die. Worship removes the ego, the pride, the prestige, the selfishness, the sin, the greed, the fear. It gives us a freedom that we can't control our worship. Listen, it's like a well, Jesus said. If you drink of this well, He told that woman at the well, it's going to be springing up in you. What does a spring do? Listen, you can't get the cap on it. You can't put the stopper in there. It's going to spring up. It's going to blow that top. Listen, friends, go ahead and choose to dance for the purpose of giving praise to God. Go ahead and dance for the glory of His presence. Go ahead and dance for the removal of our sin. Go ahead and dance for the freedom from guilt and a relationship that you built with God. Listen, the devil will come and try to take your dance. But listen, you got to say, listen, devil, I don't have any other option because I'm not going to die. Dance, why? Because of God is great. Dance because you have a hope of your calling. Dance because this is not the end of things. When the government shuts down, it doesn't matter what goes on the White House, on the Capitol Hill. What matters is heaven is still open. God is still on His throne. And listen, friend, He still provides for His people. Glory to God. I'm going to dance. I can die, but that's not my choice. I'm going to dance because of the possibility of heaven. I'm going to dance because I don't have to worry about others. If I myself find myself in the presence of God, I can get as much of God as I want.
Praise God.
Is this okay?
I'll stop right here if it's not. You see, this weekend probably there's going to be thousands, or there has been, raving, screaming, shouting, leaping, standing fans in some stadium. Hello? They don't care if you think they're weird. Hello? They don't care. Paint their bodies up. Look crazy. Huh? Why? Because they feel they've got something to shout about, Brother Tim. They feel they've got something to shout. Well, my friends, guess what? We do too. David said we did. Huh? My friends, we do too. My God picked us up. One day He saved us. He gave us hope when we were hopeless. He took our sins away when we had a lot of them. He reserved a place in heaven. If you want to dance, huh? I said, if you don't want to dance, you don't have to. But I'm going to dance. I said, I'm going to worship. John Newton said this. He said, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I wish I could be. And I'm not even what I hope to be. But by the cross of Christ, I am not what I was. So I'll dance. Huh? Want to know a few more reasons why to choose to dance and not die? I just began to look through the Word of God and find all the areas of why the children of Israel begin to worship. They begin to worship God because He supplied strength to the weary. He increased power, the Bible says, to the faint. He offered hope and escape to those when they're tempted.
He sympathized with the hurting. Huh? He saved the hopeless. He shielded the helpless. He sustained the homeless. You'll find it. It's all through the Scripture. He gave purpose to the aimless. He gave a reason to the meaningless. He gave fulfillment to the emptiness. He gave light to darkness. He gave comfort to the lonely. He gave fruit to the barren.
Praise God.
Isn't that a few reasons right there through the Word of God? Why, David, did you dance? Listen, He gives heaven to the hopeless. He gives life to the lifeless. Those are reasons why I choose to dance and not die. The whole purpose of the coming before the King tonight is to praise Him and to live in recognition of His splendor and His glory. I just want to come to church tonight and say, Lord, I want to see You high and lifted up. I don't care what so-and-so is wearing. I don't care what they look like tonight. I don't care what's going on in their family. But I know I need You in my family. Hello. And listen, friends. What was that? I had it and I lost it. Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? Huh, you remember that? That old little riddle? Said, I've been to the palace to see the queen. Well, what did it look like, pussycat? And all the cat could recall was the mouse under the queen's chair. Why? Because the cat wasn't interested in the queen. Huh? You see what you're looking for. Hello. You see what you're looking for. Oh, if you come to church, you can see there's things going. There's issues. There's things that, you know, you wish you could work out or fix or this or that. But we're not here to see each other in a sense. We're here to focus. We're here to focus on the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, somebody, would you raise your hands and praise Him? We're here to focus on Him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise is lifting up your heart, lifting up maybe your hands and exalting. Lifting up your voices and singing praise like we've done. Dancing before the throne. It's the occupation of those who dwell in the kingdom of God. Praise is the highest occupation of any being. What happens when we fail to praise the Father? We die. We die. What happens when we praise Him with all of our hearts? Well, we reestablish the proper chain of command. We recognize that the King is still on the throne and that He is still the Savior of the world. You see, this woman in our text, she failed to worship and she became barren. Broadway, we cannot fail to worship. We cannot fall into a state of barrenness. Oh, I want God to birth in us. I want Him to birth new converts. Hello? I want Him to birth miracles. Well, you say, Pastor, how's that happen? It's when we worship. I said, church, it's when we worship. We can change the atmosphere. We can change the mind of God to move from barrenness to fruitfulness. Hallelujah. I said we can move from barrenness to fruitfulness. Think of it this way. As we see through the whole system of Scripture, sin put us in a prison. Sin locked us behind the bars of shame and deception and fear. Sin did nothing but shackle us to the walls of misery. But Jesus came and paid our bail. Thank God. God. He served our time. He satisfied the penalty and set us free. I'm about to close. The only way to be set free from that prison house of sin, church, is that somebody has to serve its penalty. And in this case, the penalty for sin is always death. Someone had to die, either us or a heaven-sent substitute. Praise God. We cannot leave prison until there is a death. Well, that's why the death at Calvary occurred. Thank God. And when Jesus died, we died to sin's claim on our lives. Church, get a grip on this. That means we are now free. The prison bars cannot hold us. The gate cannot swing shut in our face. We can live in hope. We can serve Him thankfully, we can give to Him freely, we can dance joyfully. Why? Because He died so that you could dance. I said He died so that you could dance. So when we have the options of dancing or dying, I don't know about you, but my heart tells me I'm going to choose to dance. I said I'm going to choose to worship. I'm going to choose to say thank you, oh marvelous day star, for shining down on us and showing us a way out of this prison house. Oh, stand with me and praise Him. My voice is gone. Hallelujah. Dance, David, dance. Worship the Lord tonight, church. Woo! Somebody just go ahead and worship the Lord tonight. It doesn't matter who's sitting beside you, behind you, or in front of you. Somebody just say, I choose to dance, Pastor. I choose to dance tonight. Woo! Go ahead, praise Him. I feel the power and the presence of God in this place. You don't have to leave like you came in. You can leave with some victory. You can leave with some freedom. Why? Because you made a choice to dance. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. We got any Davids in the house? I'm going to choose to dance. I'm going to choose to worship. I'm not saying you need to get out in the aisle and dance. I'm saying we need to go ahead and worship. However, whatever your style is, go ahead, take a few moments in the midst of it. Hey, listen, everything else may look bad at your house, but everything's looking good in God's house. Why? Because His presence is coming. The ark is coming. I said He's going to dwell in His people. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give Him a hand clap of praise. Love on Him, love on Him, love on Him, love on Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you slip out of your seat and come across this front? Would you slip out of your seat and say, Lord, I'm going to praise You for a few minutes before I go home. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You.
Come on and praise You.
Glory, 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 glory. Lift Him up. Lift Him up, church. Listen, this church is not about me. It's not about our facility. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can just disappear into the woodwork. Oh, but if I can present Jesus to you, that's what's going to make the difference in the midst of our church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Choose to dance tonight.
Come on and praise the name of the Lord. Magnify, glorify. Come on and praise the name of the Lord. Make a choice to raise your voice. Come on and praise the name of the Lord.